Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
After a mind-blowing feat of releasing 6 movies in 8 years, Earnest Mania has come to an end. The next 3 movies we cover were made to be direct-to-video and, unfortunately, objectively, the worst of the franchise. The Earnest franchise will end in 1998. That's 9 movies spanning 11 years. Unfortunately, Jim Varney won't have the opportunity to repair Earnest's reputation, though. Shortly after his last Earnest movie, he would be diagnosed with lung cancer. As I mentioned in our first episode of Serial Killer, we chose to do Earnest franchise on a horror podcast partially as a bit, and partially due to our fondness of Earnest from childhood memories. I expected to have a fun time, but never thought I'd learn about what a great guy the man behind Earnest would be. With that said, we bid adieu to Serial Killer for another year, but before we go, just remember, diamonds are forever, and so is Earnest P. Worrell. You know what I mean? Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show, a show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies and other horror-related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Hello, Joe.
What's going on?
Nothing. This is the end of Serial Killer, the Earnest franchise. Started out real strong.
I was going to say, you know, let's start positive. The first 2 weeks... So the first 6 movies, I enjoyed way more than I thought I would. I got to be honest with you.
Okay, yeah.
You know what? I've grown to appreciate Jim Varney, the man. Yes. The more interviews I watched of him, he just seemed like a all-around good guy.
Very, very much.
Which kind of segues into this, because knowing he was like devastated to be typecast as Earnest, and was desperately trying to break free, and like account said, he was like legitimately depressed that he will always be known as Earnest. To see these last two specifically,
yeah,
was a fucking bummer. This might be the least excited I've ever been to talk about 2 movies in particular.
Oh, me too.
They're hardly movies.
And I think this will be a shorter episode, especially compared to our other Patreon episodes. But, you know, I say that a lot, and then they're 4-hour episodes. Talking about who knows what. But, yeah, man, I don't have a lot, especially Earnest in the Army. Earnest goes to Africa.
More of a plot.
Well, listen, they all have like a lot of plot. Trust me. I've never seen more plot in a fucking movie in my life. And that's my frustration with these last few movies. And even Rides Again and Goes to School was leaning into this territory of like, this is a fucking Earnest movie. Why do we have 3 different villain subplots with like 3 different villains? Every movie from there on, they had a villain, like a main villain or a main issue, and we talked about this, and then like Earnest would solve it and you're like, oh, this is the end of the movie. Yeah. Right? And then you're like, oh wait, no, there's like this other villain and this other subplot that he's got to figure out now, and then sometimes there's a third and you're like, holy fuck, like what are we doing? Like, really, like, this is crazy, but it really shows in these last 2-3 movies.
They're entirely too long, right?
Oh my God.
Entirely.
Dude, I could not believe these were an hour and a half. Like, I was like, they're direct to video. I was like, I bet you they're an hour 15, maybe an hour. Hour 30. A strong hour 30.
A strong hour 30. Like, once the hour mark hits, you just keep looking at the time. Like,
it's crazy.
This can't be.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
What an anomaly, I want to say. What an anomaly Slam Dunk Ernest is. Now, we did it for our live show, and I know some people were like, this is terrible. Watch Rides Again, and then School, and then these two, the last two.
Yes.
This is a shining star compared, like, it is so much higher in quality,
yes,
comedy, screenwriting. Like, it's just, it doesn't belong with the other four.
It really doesn't. And that was something we noticed. The quality, like, literally the visual quality is so much better. And you had said in the live show that they were planning to make it for a TV movie. So maybe there was, like, some extra funding there, or, like,
yes,
you know, like, maybe not funding, but, like, you have $3 million, but hey, we have cameras you can use. Please do not use those things you used the last two movies, those fucking potatoes. You know, the comedy was decent in Slam Dunk Ernest. It's a fucking kids movie, so, like, don't go into that expecting something. But one fucking villain, one fucking problem.
Yes.
And that was great. And guess what? That was, like, the key to those fucking holiday movies, too.
Right.
Santa was one problem. Santa needed to find this guy. He needed to find his replacement. Ernest was there to help.
Yes.
Fucking
trolls.
Problem. That's it. That's one fucking problem. That's it. The camp was one fucking camp. Problem.
John Vernon.
Villain.
Yep.
So when you got off, they got on this kick where it was like 14 different things they introduced to you. And they're like, hey, just keep this in your back pocket for after he solves the main problem. And you're like, what the fuck is this? The other thing that these lack, and they've been lacking for some time in some of these movies, really after Christmas, I guess, not enough of, like, the goofy cameras, not enough of the zany camera angles, like the Hey Vern camera angles, the wild shit. Right. There's no Vern bits anymore. And then, like, a lack of Ernest's other characters, which he replaces with some new ones in Ernest Goes to Africa that I'm excited to mention. Briefly.
Yeah, shelving Auntie Nelda is crazy. Like, she makes an appearance, but
she does.
It could have been utilized way more.
Yes.
And it should have been. But instead, they bring back the ooh gag that he does. You know, in camp when he's cleaning the toilet, they decided to bring that back for the last two movies, which he does
strong. Strong. Yes. Like, he says it at least 4 or 5 times in Africa, at least 4, minimum of 4. He has ew, yes, bits.
Sticking his fingers in an alligator's nose.
It's fucking insane. They also shot these in South Africa, which is crazy.
They did. And they used all South African actors, which I honestly liked that.
I mean, you know, thank God. Fucking God. Because, like, otherwise this would be nuts. I actually wondered that, so I'm glad you know that information. But now, is this the first serial killer we have where the subject is dead? Oh no, I guess Wes Craven. Basic. Well, we didn't do Wes Craven. We did Nightmare on
George Romero. Sorry.
Oh, George Romero's dead also. Yeah. Okay. All right. So a couple. Never mind. There goes that. Is this our first actor serial killer? Yes.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I guess it's not an actor. It's a franchise, but whatever.
It's a character. Yeah. We could do actor. I like the concept.
Yeah, an actor would be cool.
Sylvester Stallone month is back in
action. Back in action. We're back. We'll see you next January for Sly Stallone month. That's actually a fun arc, though. That's actually, like, a really fun arc when you think about it.
doing a character or an actor?
Just Sly in general. Like, his arc is fucking crazy. Dude, starting off in fucking porno.
Right. Right.
And going
then
up.
Rocky, and then.
Yeah.
Fucking Oscar.
You could also, another good one would be Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he's got the, just to delve into his run as a fucking governor of California, which I think about now and I'm like, that's so crazy that was a thing. That was a thing. Just this fucking crazy actor doing that. Now he's just on Instagram playing with fucking toy ponies in his house.
Donkeys. And-
roam free in his house. All right. Well, let's get into this. And by the way,
I wanted to tell you, did you look up anything that John Cherry did aside from Ernest?
I only saw the one fucking, he tried to bring back those fucking like 1920s characters.
Laurel and Hardy. He did a Laurel and Hardy reboot called The All New Adventures of Laurel and Hardy in For the Love or Mummy. Not of Mummy, For the Love or Mummy. I hope that's a typo, to be honest with you. But it came out in 1999, and it starred Gaillard Sartain as, you know, obviously the fat one. And then Bronson Pinchot as the other one.
That's fucking hilarious. Yeah, I had seen that.
I think Bronson Pinchot in the lead role in 1999. You have to be out of your fucking mind, John Cherry.
Bronson. How do you say it? Bronson Pinchot in Paul's favorite mini series, The Langoliers.
The Langoliers, yeah. Langoliers.
All New Adventures of Laurel and Hardy. Sorry, I'm pulling it up. For Love or Mummy. Yeah. Why the fuck did this happen?
Who funded it, you know? Like,
this is, dude, F. Murray Abraham is in it.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, no, I'd seen this. It looked like, of all things.
I don't watch it.
He wanted Jim Varney to be in it. Couldn't do it. Not feeling so hot. That's a weird way to say that.
Jesus Christ.
Rest in peace. Only the horror show knows how to delicately address deaths of celebrities and actors. I just wanted to shout out, before we get into it, everyone that joined us for the live show on Patreon. Fucking packed house for Ernest. Dude, easily our most watched live show, and it was for Slam Dunk fucking Ernest. I cannot believe that. That blew my fucking mind. So thank you all for joining that. And it was fun. That was like, yeah, I was very drunk, but I got so drunk so fast. I don't know what happened. And it was so fun. It was just so fun. We had so much fun. All week I've been like thinking about things that we talked about on there and just like laughing so hard. And you know, we had a ex negative reviewer show up and claim it was like one of the best nights he ever had was on our live show. So shout out to Mr. Hell J for that. Of his fame. So thanks to everyone that showed out for that. It was super fun. I had a blast. So I'm like really excited for those now. Now that I'm letting loose a little bit more for him, just getting weird with it. But it was good. It was good. So thanks for that. Is there anything else? No. We'll talk about the rest at the end. All right. So we did Slam Dunk Ernest for Patreon, as we mentioned. Good quality. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Fine. Despite John Cherry's claim that it was like.
So John Cherry was like, he was the hardest actor he's ever worked with. He was completely stiff. I thought he was
for a basketball player,
the loosest I've ever seen him, and that includes Airplane, right? the goofiest movie of all time. He was fine. I don't know what John's on about.
Yeah. Especially because we see John's acting in Ernest in the Army front and center. I wouldn't call it fucking loose. You know, he's not exactly fucking out there. Fucking, what's that? Daniel Day-Lewis in it.
Going method for Ernest. Yeah.
But yeah, good quality. The storyline was okay. I mean, this movie gets poo-pooed and like, again, it's a fucking kids movie, but for an Ernest movie, it's not bad. It's really not terrible. It's really not terrible. Especially again, considering the other movies that we've discussed and watched, especially these next two. So from there, and by the way, there's like zero information about these movies. And really, after 96, Jim is in a different place. And I forget when he gets the diagnosis. Well, I guess it's in 98. But he's like, he's not promoting Ernest like he was. He's not, I mean, no one gave a fuck about Ernest, I guess, is really what it came down to. So there's like not a lot of information about these movies or the making of them or any types of like press interviews or anything about them. So there's not a lot of information about these movies, which he is, which.
Yeah. The ship has sailed. It makes me appreciate Slam Dunk Ernest more, which is an insane statement to say, I know, to appreciate Slam Dunk Ernest, but getting the fact that they got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? Like that's a big name person to be in there.
Yeah.
That's impressive because the Ernest ship has sailed.
Yeah.
So, you know, he had two duds before that, and then it comes back with better quality with people that you actually know that are in it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then we will do Ernest Goes to Africa. All right. So, Ernest Goes to Africa, 1997. One actress we haven't discussed who's become kind of a regular is Linda Cash. Yeah. Yes. She was in Rides Again, Goes to School, and then she's comes back for Africa, Goes to Africa. She's a fun little character. I like her little characters. I think she's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love these like Ernest universe. That's the one thing they could have done more is just like stuck with the regulars, man. Like, why aren't Bobby and whatever the fuck that guy's name is? Like, they should be in every fucking movie after they were in that. It doesn't matter what the money is. Spend whatever money in the budget to bring them back.
There's no way those two bozos are asking for anything.
That's what I'm saying. Right? Like, they're not.
Free meal.
Like, they're not going to ask for much money. Throw them in every fucking movie. Like, just bring them back. And like this lady, Linda Cash, she's really good. You could have thrown her in, brought her in to the mix. But it just feels like they kind of let go of like a lot of things on the end slope of this franchise.
But this was, you know, before cinematic universes was a term or a thing.
That's true.
If it was done a couple of years later, I think they could have been convinced to keep the characters and
go on somewhere
with it.
But like, I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
I kept mentioning this whole serial, how I felt like we were robbed to not have Jim Varney and Jim Carrey in a movie together. And this movie, Ernest Goes to Africa, had very high Ace Ventura 2 vibes, because you know how he's...
Yes, very
there's
much.
Villain, there's those poachers and like he gets caught by them.
Yes.
And there's a lot of similarities between some of those characters.
Yeah, there really are. Now let's talk about the elephant in the room here. Now, you told me this story. I do not remember it. We did the live show in Salem. And I guess can you tell the story? We mentioned Ernest Goes to Africa for some reason, because it's the horror show. So of course we're talking about that at Salem Horror Fest on stage.
But I think we were just listing Ernest titles. Like, I don't think we were referencing the movie because none of us had seen it. We were just naming Ernest movies. So it was like, there's Ernest. The conversation was just going, oh, there's Ernest goes to camp. He goes to jail. He goes to Africa at some point. And when we said that, there was a guy in the front row that was just like leaning forward into our microphone being like, don't do it. Don't go there. And we're like, but that's the title of the movie. He's like, just don't do it. Okay. And then like, that's what he was doing. Then he had his arms crossed, like glaring at us. So we're like, all right, but you know, that is the title of the movie. And then we brought up Ghost Dad. Cause I think we were listing ghost movies. Like, we weren't talking about any of these movies, just listing things.
Right.
And then we brought up Ghost Dad. And again, he's like, don't. And he kept saying it sternly. And other people heard him. Cause afterwards they're like, who was that guy? Like, I have no fucking clue. Not with us. I don't know.
Well, what? Like, that's so fucking weird. I can't believe I blocked that out. I must have like disassociated in that moment. But like,
oh no, I can remember your face being like, what did we say? Like, did we say something? Because he acted like we did something terrible. And we're like, well,
yeah,
a fucking yeah. place. That's the name of the movie.
I for sure disassociated then. But like, what? Oh, we're gonna talk about Ernest Goes to Africa's issue. But like, you can't. It's not. Ernest Goes to Africa isn't so bad. You're like, don't even mention the fucking name. Like,
there's no way that guy had seen this movie. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I don't know what he was on about.
And then also, Ghost Dad, was Bill Cosby even in trouble at that point?
Of course not. But Ghost Dad was a smash hit, dude. Everybody watched Ghost Dad.
Why was he upset about Ghost Dad? Maybe these are beloved movies for him. Maybe he's just like Ernest Goes to Africa and Ghost Dad fan in the world. Don't even fucking go there.
I like that take. Honestly, that would make way more sense.
That would be way more logical than whatever was happening. Dude, Ghost Dad, don't go.
I mean, he's acting like our publicist, be like, you can't say that. Holy shit.
Rushing us off the stage. No more questions.
You had done Salem the year before and Shay was born like that month, so I didn't go with you. So you did it solo. So this was quite literally my very first live show. Yeah. This was my first time with a microphone in front of me talking to a group of people. And there was a good amount of people in there.
Yeah.
And this guy's, I hope he's still a listener. But this guy's just leaning forward and being like, don't you fucking say that. Wait, what am I saying?
Wait, remember we finally, where did we catch up to that guy? Where did we catch up to that guy that was like, I was at Salem. I was the guy that was like, that knew, that was the Osmosis Jones fan.
That was not the same guy. I don't remember. For those listening,
what a terrible first live show.
The movie that we covered was My Bloody Valentine. And Tremors. We did a double feature. So the fact that Osmosis Jones, Ernest Goes to Ernest Africa, and Ghost Dad.
What a fucking... Hey, watch out, Salem. We're here. Take the horror industry by storm.
Can't believe we haven't been asked back.
immediately talk about Ernest. Get on stage and we're like, have you seen any Ernest movies? Let's list the titles and laugh about them. That's so fucking funny.
And Linnea Quigley was watching us.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like asking us for like videos with her and then shooting videos in a graveyard saying our name.
Yes. Promoting us. Yes. What a time.
What a fucking time for sure. No, dude, that guy we met him again and he was like, I was the Osmosis Jones fan.
I don't remember. Sorry to that guy. I really don't remember this.
No, I hope he's still listening. Dude, it was so crazy. He was like, yeah, I was, because we said Osmosis Jones, and I guess the guy was like, woo! And he was obviously the only guy in the theater. And we were like, get the fuck out of here. We were like, do you like it? And he was like, yes. Like, unironically. And we were like, all right, man. And then we ended up seeing him at like another live or like a convention or something. And he was like, yeah, he was like, I was the Osmosis Jones guy. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
I'm trying to think. I remember we met Mark there, right? My longtime listener, Mark.
Yeah. No, I don't think we met him at Salem. I think we met him somewhere else.
I thought we met him at the place where we got burgers before.
Nah.
Didn't we?
No.
Because wasn't he there the year before?
Who?
Or am I thinking of somebody else?
You're talking about Mark now?
Yeah.
No, Mark we met. I don't care about Mark. Well, no offense, Mark. Love you. But I'm talking about Osmosis Jones guy. A guy.
A guy who doesn't interact with us
and only pops in once in a while. Mark is a diehard, and I'm like, dude, Mark can go fuck himself.
Mark's the best. Mark's the man.
He is. I'm like, Mark could go fuck himself. I'm talking about Osmosis Jones guy. Don't even know his name. That's all I care about. All right, come on. We got to get through this. We haven't even started.
No, we don't. I'd rather spend the next 2 hours figuring out who Osmosis Jones guy was. Yeah, dude, every live show that we go to, we say it all the time, how people just choose not to interact with us on Instagram.
Yes.
We went to Chicago. That was
packed house.
No exaggeration. That was a packed house, like almost intimidating. And literally everybody there were like, oh, so who are you? And they're like, oh, we don't fucking talk to you. We don't follow you.
Dude, like 90% was like, I don't use Instagram. And I'm like, that's fucking nuts, but okay. Where do you get your memes from? I don't know.
How did you find us?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. We got to get those dates going too. Now that the spring's coming, I got to thaw out a little bit. It's fucking freezing here. And I just refuse to travel anywhere in this fucking temperature. Not gonna happen, especially Chicago. Chicago will be there, but not. You can't be before April 1st.
I agree with that.
Dude, it's still gonna be 30 degrees in April. So like,
I know. that day honestly scarred me. Like, we're in New England, so it's cold. The wind, it was only 38 degrees that day, which isn't that cold, but the wind that came off the lakes honestly chilled me to my fucking core.
The day we just brought it up recently, like a few days ago, I actually just had a conversation with somebody at work about it because she's in the Midwest. And I was telling her, like that day, oddly enough, I was telling her and I was like, I've never felt cold like that in my fucking life. And I was like, again, we're from Connecticut. It's fucking cold here. That was a whole new level of cold. Like, that was insane. That was not, I've never been that cold ever. It was fucking November. It was nuts.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
All I did was walk from a bar to an Uber.
Dude, we were just outside.
I might not make it.
And then that was the Uber ride that ruined my rating forever.
Yeah, it was.
Still haven't recovered from that rating loss on that ride, which you can thank the co-host of All Documented All True for.
No, wait, did he know about this?
I don't know, actually. I think we talked to him about it. I think we had to. We've talked about it with him, I think. I think we have. That was nuts. Just insulting the guy, but like pretending like it was a normal conversation talking about somebody else.
He was 1,000% talking about somebody else. Sean, that was the most insane coincidence of all time. He was 1,000% talking about somebody else, but it applied directly. The only two people in the entire world it could apply directly to was the person driving that Uber and the other person that he was referring to. That was insane.
I'm crying. I remember laughing this hard. That didn't help either. It was like him looking back and me just probably like throwing up laughing in the car. Although I think you were too. Actually, I think we all were. Brian was there too, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's why I was laughing so hard, because it was so unbelievable. That I was like, how can this be?
But Mike was the only one. Like, Mike was laughing too, but I don't think he did. He not realize that, or did he know? That's what I'm.
No, he 1,000% did not realize. Mike would not tell that story if he realized.
It's so funny that the three of us were like, like about to explode. as he's telling that story. Because we all knew. Fuck. That's so funny. Explode. Anywho. Ernest. We save the real naughty stuff for the live shows. So tune into the live shows to... we'll just get drunk. Just ask us about the story. We'll tell you literally in detail everything we said to a T.
Name it. Name. Yeah.
Government name, age, address. We let real loose on the live show this week with like Cheshireites. We had a buzz half hour. That was pretty fun. So tune in for that. If you like that talk, like, sign up for Patreon. Go watch that. That was... We fucking hammered the shit out of him. So sick of it. Drunk enough to be fucking sick and tired of it. Anywho. So anyway, Ernest goes to Africa. He's a car detailer that ends up in Africa because people, for some reason, think that he is a secret agent hiding diamonds that were stolen from a tribe in Africa.
Yeah, stolen from a tribe, and it ended up at, like, what was it, a fair?
Fucking, like, flea market, like a fair.
Dude, a fair slash yard sale. The most low-budget fair. I mean, this movie is low-budget, but we do get, you know, I was actually kind of hopeful at the start of this because Ernest eats a cassette tape, which...
Joe, that was my next thing. I was like, when I saw that, I was like, all right, we're on to something now.
Yeah. Dude,
a car gets crushed. He's in the car. The car literally gets sandwiched between the ceiling and a fucking a car lift, right?
Yeah.
Literally crushes it. Like, literally kill anyone that's in it. And Ernest pops out and for some reason has a cassette tape in his mouth, which he spits out, and then, like, cassette ribbon just falls out of his fucking mouth. It's so fucking good.
And Vince McMahon stole the "you're fired" bit from Ernest's boss, because he delivers it just like old Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Well, that would make sense. This would be a timely reference, but also, yeah, of course. This is probably the only movie Vince watched that year.
You're right, dude. You're right. Dude, Vince is a huge Ernest guy. There's no way he's not.
Probably got like fucking early edition. Cracking up, laughing his ass off.
Shitting on people, watching Ernest.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. Wait, let's take a quick break. We'll get back to Ernest Goes to Africa.
We haven't even talked about it.
All right, we're back to Ernest Goes to Africa. We got 30 minutes left. We're just trying to buy time here because God knows we need it. Hey, so Ernest also in this movie, we start noticing his age a lot.
Yes.
Dyed hair. You could see the grays in the sideburns, and his voice has dramatically changed. I mean, he is a heavy smoker, and it shows. Yes. You can definitely hear it in there. So Ernest is working on cars, gets rung up with these smugglers. But again, you're watching the movie and there's like guys that are stealing diamonds. There's smugglers. There's this other gang that's going after the smugglers, but you think there might also be the smugglers. And then you're like, oh wait, I think they don't like each other also. Like, it's all this, all these fucking characters. It's fucking wild.
Yes.
And Ernest, trying to impress a girl, takes these two beautiful diamonds, which would impress a girl, and turns them into a yo-yo.
Yes.
To give to the crush of his movie, Renee. There's also an insane scene where Ernest, like, accidentally flushes his fish down the sink. And I thought that was actually going to come back at some point, because, like, that's crazy to show. These two movies are, like, not really, like, appropriate for kids. Like, I mean, they are, right? They're kids' movies, but, like, the shit that they do in it, you're like, that would, like, probably upset my son if he was, like, 4 or 5 years old, and I'm, like, showing him this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dude, I agree. Yeah.
Ernest fucking flushes his fish by accident alive down the sink.
Right.
And it's just like, ugh. And you're like, wait, that's fucking weird. Like, I thought the fish was going to come back. Like at the end, and that does not happen. Anyway, so they think Ernest is an agent. They kidnap Ernest. They kidnap Renee. And they do the most cost-effective method to get the diamonds back from Ernest, which is ship them to Africa, where they'll really get that information out of them. Spend $4,000 flying a person to
Africa. That's actually psychotic. You have him. Yeah, that's right.
Send him down to Africa to question him. And the Ernest gags are kind of weak in this one. He falls off of a bridge, but there's no like gag to it. Like he literally just like falls off of a fucking bridge into a lake.
Ernest works. Yeah, I mean, I know that we're building a case for Ernest P. Worrell, which is nuts as almost 40-year-old adults. But Ernest works because he's a bumbling idiot and they own the fact that he's from Redneckville, right? Like they talk about that.
Yes.
Like he's from that area. And all the gags center around that.
Yeah.
Ernest P. Worrell does not belong overseas in any country, and he should not have ever gone overseas to any country. Like it does not make sense for this character to be there.
No.
And even more so that, like what you're saying, they sent him there to get something from him. Like they should have brought everyone to him. He works better in his own environment.
Yeah. Like it doesn't even make sense. And it gets a little weird here. And we go through a 10-minute stretch without Ernest. And this is another thing in these fucking movies, which is they, for whatever reason, think that they are telling the story of a lifetime and that we need all of this exposition about the gangs and the diamonds and where they come from and who's looking for them.
Yes.
And the same thing happens in the army. Ernest in the army, the geopolitical climate of a fake country.
Nuts.
He might honestly deserve an award for writing for that because, like, that's the craziest work of fiction I've ever fucking seen in my life. He developed a whole geopolitical concept around a fake country and warlords and,
like trying to like take dictatorship of the country and like how the infrastructure would fall if he gets control. It's insane.
It's fucking nuts. And this was a real lead up to it with like trying to learn about this black market industry for fucking diamonds and shit. Dude, it's nonstop. It's the girl Renee, who's Ernest's love interest in this. She has so many lines in this. It's crazy. It's just her talking to this like bodyguard for like 15 minutes of this scene. So anyway, Ernest crawls out of the water. That's when you get the first ew of the episode, where he's shoving his fingers in the nose of an alligator, which was done just to do the ew, I think.
Correct.
And then we get what everyone was afraid of with Ernest Goes to Africa. And you hoped it wouldn't happen because Ernest had an amazing track record, really, of not doing anything like this. In an earlier time when it would be more acceptable, he does this weird racial character called Hey You.
Yes.
Whose ethnicity does not fit the theme of the movie, I don't think, but I couldn't really tell what his ethnicity was. You know what I mean?
Right.
I also couldn't tell. I'm colorblind, so he wasn't doing brown face, was he?
Oh, he for sure was.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm colorblind, so I couldn't tell if that was just because if you're from the South, you know I mean, I guess everywhere, if you just work outside long enough, you get this like, you get this weird tone on your face that's not tan. It's like this other color. It's like this other shade. So I couldn't tell if that was just Ernest's Southern outdoorman tan or if that was, if he had black or brown face on. That was brown face?
Nah, yeah, for sure.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's a bummer. And the character, I mean, we're talking about, we're in South Africa, Africa, and like this, whatever this character is, it just doesn't even fit the theme or concept of what's going on here.
No, it does not. And, you know, he's playing this character to like infiltrate one of the many bad guys. And then he talks about farts and earwax the entire time that he's in this character. what are we doing?
And he has a ton of screen time. He does the initial thing where he gets in and you're like, okay, that's hopefully it for this character. No, this character hangs around for far too long. Hey, and guess what? Ultimately, doesn't even use it. He breaks in. He ends up having to infiltrate using Auntie Nelda.
Correct.
Of all people. So it's like,
Just use Auntie Nelda.
Just use one of your other 14 characters.
Yes.
What are you doing?
And Ernest Scared Stupid, during the history soliloquy that he does, he busts out so many characters, it's unbelievable. Like, use one of them. Choose
any of them. So it was a bummer to see that. It was a bummer. Ernest had a really clean track record for a guy that's doing impressions, he could have easily slipped. It took him to 1997 to do it, though. So,
yes.
Bummer. Anyway, Ernest and Renee drive a fucking golf cart into the middle of Africa. Renee honestly sucks. She's awful in this. She's like a terrible partner to Ernest. The other weird thing is they never let up with like Ernest's, these, usually everyone hated Ernest, but then they were like, oh, I actually love Ernest. Like, Ernest is the best. Like, thank God for Ernest. These movies, like, everyone hates Ernest, and then at the end, they're still like, fucking Ernest. Like, there's no, like, reprieve at the end of these.
So in this one, they reference a fake movie, but it's like Indiana Jones, right? And I forget what they call it, but Ernest loves this lady in the beginning. She's like, I don't want somebody like you. You're just a small town schmuck. I want somebody like Indiana Jones. And then at the end, Ernest becomes Indiana Jones. And she's like, I want a small town schmuck. Like, you're too brave and big for me. So he still doesn't get the girl, but he does have a really good bit with that Indiana Jones character, because he's talking about the movie and she is all horned up. And she's like, Ernest, I want you right now. And she's like an inch from his face. And she's like, she asks him a question about that movie, and you think he's actually finally going to kiss a woman, kiss somebody that he's into, and he just starts talking about the movie again, like, while she's actually close to his face.
Fucking,
probably the only good bit in this besides eating the cassette tape.
The ultimate Paul move.
yeah, it is.
That's funny. So yeah, another good bit was Ernest eating the poison ivy and drinking calamine lotion. It wasn't, but anyway,
we already did the poison ivy game.
I know. I was like, I actually kind of hated it for that. Anyway, they run into a tribe, which poses some more questionable Ernest content here, which was like grandfather-esque jokes here, running into a native African tribe, but anyway. And then hey, guess what? Some new bad guys show up and steal Renee. They're not the existing ones, they're just new ones that have shown up. They're different. They don't like the other bad guys. They're bad guys that don't like the other bad guys. And Ernest has to infiltrate another building, this time dressed up as a belly dancer.
Yes.
And of course, the head guy falls in love with him Hey, fun fact. You can only see Ernest from his eyes to his forehead. You would know. The wrinkles on this man's forehead are unreal. You would not do it. And he's like, that one. You would not pick that one.
Doing the Bugs Bunny gag in 1997 with a real live human being. So stupid.
We get another E there when a guy kisses him. They pick up a drive. They hitchhike. They get picked up. Guy makes a move on Renee. Renee beats him up. And then we have a pursuit where Ernest is throwing eggs at the villains, which we will reuse this in the next movie. Fun fact. It's like literally the same exact fucking thing. Anyway, they end up getting picked up by the tribe, which Ernest shows them yo-yo tricks, and that impresses them. But then the main villain shows up, I guess, and Ernest has to fight him to the death.
The death, yes.
Which is crazy. And this guy has giant knives, and Ernest like beats the shit out of him with like a salami. I don't know what it was. But he has Ernest dead to rights. And then Ernest pulls out his yo-yo, defeats him. The yo-yo breaks apart, revealing the jewels. The tribe is happy. Ernest and Renee go home, and you're like, oh, maybe this is the episode, this is the movie where Ernest and Renee get together. And Renee's like, nah, I'm not into you. And Ernest is like, okay. And then puts on his hat, and an ostrich egg cracks on his head somehow. I don't even know how the fuck that happened. How did that fucking egg end up in there? We talking about the egg from like 30 minutes earlier?
Yeah, we and, for sure are.
And another E. Fucking nuts. And that is Ernest Goes to Africa. And we'll take a quick break here, and then we'll get into Ernest in the Army. All right, we're back. Ernest in the Army, 1998. Do you have any final thoughts on Ernest Goes to Africa?
No. The fight scene was what I wish the entire movie was like. Like that's
yeah,
classic.
Just Ernest. Gags.
Yeah.
Just gags and bits. Tittles and bits. Okay, so we go to Ernest in the Army.
Shot at the same time, by the way. Shot back to back.
Yeah, and both shot in South Africa.
South Africa, yep.
Ernest is a ball collector at a golf range, wants to join the army, does join the army reserves, immediately gets called into duty. And we have this entire story of I don't even know how to explain this. It's so heavy on story. Of the story of this war-torn country, it's fucking nuts, dude. I've never seen anything like this. Like, I could not believe this was an Ernest movie.
Story of a war-torn country, and we've talked about this episode, how they put too many storylines into it. We also get a kid who's lost his family to war in this war-torn country, who Ernest is, like, taking under his wing as, like, a father figure, which is... That's fucking nuts. Ernest P. Worrell as a father figure. What are we doing, John Cherry?
John Cherry also in his first like real role in a movie playing Sergeant Ben and actually acting alongside Ernest for the first time. He was in a cameo in Africa. He was a customer in the movie. I don't know if he was in anything before that, but if he was background. He did not really have lines. And in this one, his character is prevalent throughout the movie.
Yeah, Sarge.
Yeah.
Do you remember Sarge from our high school?
From what?
From our high school.
Dude, wait, who was that?
will you beep the name? I don't want to use
it. Yeah, I can beep his name.
Fucking
I forgot that was his nickname. That's a yeah, that nickname's fucked up because like he's not the Sarge of anything. He was that was the guy who wore the hot dog hat around, right?
Of course it was.
He graduated with my class, didn't he?
No, he's in my grade. Did he not graduate?
I think he graduated in my class.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
I don't know what happened there. That guy was something. The hot dog hat running around. Sarge. Joe, when we tell these stories out loud on this show, I realize like any movie that we made fun of being like, who would call this guy this? Like we did it in that fucking one episode where we realized it. But like it comes more and more to fruition where it's like, what a terrible example of high school. These ridiculous nicknames. It's like, no, that's 1,000% accurate. Like why was this real in our school? Why was a kid named Sarge in our school? It's nuts, dude. It's fucking crazy.
Hot dog hat.
Oh my god. Fuck. I wonder what that guy's doing now.
I honestly do too. He's probably successful as fuck.
Do you think he has children?
can't be
oh fuck. Oh my god. Anyway, we get a whole fucking geopolitical story here involving the UN, a group called the Financial International Terrorism Group, three different villains, a James Bond villain, like a legit, like yes, petting a cat in a chair villain alongside of these other countries in war, the UN, a small Middle Eastern village where everyone's living in poverty. This is fucking nuts. And the jump cuts and editing in this are atrocious, absolutely awful. They're just jump, they just cut randomly between scenes. It's fucking crazy. Also, weirdly, this movie seems like it's a response to Desert Storm, and they waited fucking 8 years to cover Desert Storm.
I mean, it's Ernest, you're right. John C. Cherry probably just heard about it.
Anyway, Ernest is shipped to Karifistan, a fake country that they made up, and he's just allowed to do whatever he wants for whatever. Even though he's in the army. And we get some Ernest antics, blowing people up with mines that look like rocks.
There's one solid Ernest gag in this. And it's when he eats an entire box of gummies, including the box, and then barfs it up all over the drill sergeant. So gross.
Dude, the noises while he's eating the gummies is so fucking vile. I had to turn down the TV volume. It was fucking skeeving me up. We also get Ernest teaching the kid to cook, and I was like, dude, give me a callback to Eggs Erroneous right fucking now. I really thought I was going to get it, and I didn't. I got pancakes, which unfortunately comes into play. And I mean that very seriously. It's very unfortunate that it comes into play later. So Ernest and his crew, they find out they're actually going to go into war. We also meet this colonel and a news reporter who, whatever, they get kidnapped by the villains, one group of the villains. So Ernest decides to walk on it alone through the desert to try and save them because they're going to bomb the area where these people are, basically. This movie's like really nuts for children. Yes. Bombing fucking people, like, and addressing like innocent people are going to die. like regular, like that's the main focus of it. It's like, man, they're going to kill innocent people. Like that's fucking crazy. Ernest saves. And then he is able to mobilize like a group of local people to fight back against the tyrannical army. They're about to escape. They're chased through the desert. This is anyone could write this. Logan could probably write this movie probably better. And of course, unlike, you know, in the last movie, he was throwing eggs at the car. This movie, he is throwing those rock mines and using his golfing skills to pick up the mines with a net and throwing them, at the cars following him. You think he gets away, but he doesn't. The leader catches him. They have a stare down. And Ernest incapacitates him by throwing a pancake he has saved in his back pocket at his head, because the pancakes were very hard, and that was very funny. So, and by the way, knocking this guy out ends the war completely.
Correct.
Everyone is like, holy shit, the war's over. We did it. Which is nuts.
Pancake.
But hey, guess what? That's not actually the end. The colonel's actually bad and part of that James Bond villain demanding they steal the bomb.
Yes.
I actually don't have a thing here of how they got rid of the colonel. Do you remember how they disposed of the colonel?
I don't, actually.
I don't either. I have no idea how. Probably with the pancake also.
Yeah, actually.
I remember the scene because Ernest is like looking at the button. I don't know. I think he just launches them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because he's looking at the launch button because the guy's trying to steal the plutonium bomb. And then Ernest is like looking at the button, like looking up. So I don't know. Who cares? It really doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. The war's over. The war's over. He already beat one baddie. We don't need to give you the details of the other one. But what I did like about this movie, it's the last Ernest movie. And in the end, Ernest walks away arm in arm with John Cherry, which I thought was kind of cool. And Ernest, after all of these fucking movies, finally gets a kiss. Finally kisses a woman. And when their lips part, she peels off. Ernest, how do I even describe that? Ernest's chapped lips have ripped off of his own face and gotten stuck on her lips that she peels off and is like, are you fucking kidding me? So despite Ernest getting the kiss, he still does not get the girl. And she walks away being like, please get the fuck away from me. And Ernest is like, come on, can't we hang out? And she's like, absolutely not. Like, it was the most vile thing that's ever happened to me. And that's the end, Ernest. Ernest, baby.
Do we want to rank him?
We should. I do want to talk about Varney, though, real quick, the end of his life. After this, he does Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain. Not the best Three Ninjas, but
that's
what we got.
Hogan?
That's Hogan, the Hogan one. That's the Hogan one. Anything Hogan acted in was not good.
How dare you? Suburban Commando.
Oh, wait. I take that back. Suburban Commando and Mr. Nanny are actually great. Everything else was not good.
No Holds Barred.
Okay, fine. That one too. Oh, is Hogan the best actor of our generation?
The Hulkster. We found our next cereal.
Varney, longtime chain smoker, when he was filming this movie, Treehouse Hostage, developed a nagging cough. Thought it was a cold, but it got worse and worse, and he started noticing blood in his handkerchief. I actually don't believe that. No offense to anyone or Jim about this. That is the most insane movie thing in the world. Coughing into it. Jim was carrying around a handkerchief to cough in.
Oh, dude, I believe that.
Actually,
I believe that. 1,000%.
You might be right. The last guy on Earth to cough into a handkerchief and look at it and show blood.
Yeah, for sure, he did that.
He started developing a cough as well as a nosebleed. He went, looked, found a tumor on his lung, diagnosed with lung cancer. He quit smoking immediately because he wanted only to keep working. He wanted to keep acting. So that was literally the only reason he stopped. He went to Tennessee. Also,
sorry, but before this, he refused to smoke on film, even despite being a heavy smoker. He did not want to influence kids into smoking.
Oh, that's actually awesome. This guy's a good dude.
Good guy, yeah.
He eventually went to Tennessee, and he stayed there for 2 years, and unfortunately passed away. Not the anniversary is coming up, February 10th, 2000, in Tennessee. Age of 50, man. Young.
Yeah, too young.
Young dude. He's buried in Lexington, Kentucky, where people go, I found this out, unfortunately, people go and leave eggs erroneous on his grave. And I understand that that is a attempt at honoring him. I think that might be the most disrespectful thing I've ever heard in my fucking life. Fucking crazy. If you did that, you're a piece of shit. Just gonna say it. Eggs erroneous. Gotta be fucking kidding me. And of course, he was in Toy Story. In Toy Story 2. Yes. Toy Story 2 was in 99. He was in a couple ones after his death that were released, like Atlantis, that animated thing, which was dedicated
to him. His last appearance ever.
So, bummer for Varney being gone. So fucking good, as we learned. Such a good guy, as we learned.
Yes.
And somebody that like didn't give a fuck about Hollywood or anything or critics and was like, you're going to fucking criticize an Ernest movie? Like, what are we talking about? Like, what? Look at the fuck. Look what I'm fucking making. Like, think this is for a critic to look at? Like, get a grip. And he was right, and he was fun. And those first movies were just fucking great.
Yeah, and he was supposed to go to space at one time, which, you know, leading the charge for Fast and Furious, which we mentioned in our first episode.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about that. That was a good thought for us. I like that idea. CGI him in, fuck it. Give him the fucking...
I think as a state might have to sign off. I don't think you could just use his likeness.
Hey, Ernest Estate, they're going to be like, hey, we're going to give you $1 million. We want Ernest in Fast and the Furious.
Sean, nobody's giving Ernest.
I would. $1 million. All those times where like Hollywood hire us, this is why they don't, because they hear the idea and they're like, that's not bad. And then they hear me be like, I'd give Ernest Estate $1 million to CGI him into a Fast and Furious movie. And they're like, okay, we're not doing this with them. Let's just steal their fucking idea. All right. So we're ranking them.
Yeah.
We're leaving off Dr. Otto. That doesn't count.
Okay.
Yeah, Ernest goes to camp. Ernest saves Christmas. Ernest goes to jail. Ernest scared stupid. Ernest rides again. Ernest goes to school. Slam dunk Ernest. Ernest goes to Africa. And Ernest in the army. Should we start? So how many is that? 9? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yes.
Worst to best or best to worst?
I think we go worst to best. Well, worst to best.
Ernest in the army.
Ernest in the army as well.
Ernest goes to Africa.
Hang on, I gotta write these down. No, I don't. I'll watch it after. Ernest goes to Africa.
I can write it down.
No. I'll review it after. It's fine. Ernest goes to Africa also.
Although I kind of want. Well, All right, next, Ernest goes to school.
Ernest rides again.
So the ours will be flip flopped because my next one would be Ernest Rides Again. So.
Oh, your next one's Ernest Rides Again. I would do Slam Dunk Ernest was.
You're putting school above Slam Dunk Ernest?
I guess the quality, no. I like school was insane. You know, I'm going to go school.
So ours are flipped there. Then it's Slam Dunk
Ernest. Slam Dunk Ernest for sure. All right, now the fucking the meat and potatoes here.
I know in week one, I flip-flopped and I said I liked jail better than camp. But in thinking about it, camp's a better movie. So I'm going to go jail next.
Okay. And these are Ernest. Okay. We're ranking these as like Ernest movies, right? Like our just.
I mean, what do you mean?
I don't know.
Fuck else would we be ranking them?
I just choose the Godfather. Right, I'm choosing top 10 movies of all time. And those were my first eight. And I'm like, and the Godfather at three. That would be such a good bit.
I don't know. Like, okay, so Scared Stupid, I like a lot. Jail is really fucking good. Saves Christmas is really fucking good. And Goes to Camp is really fucking good. I feel like I should put Jail next, but I'm going to go Scared Stupid.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, Scared Stupid's really good, but I really liked Jail rewatching it.
Yeah. It's your list, man. That's a good, I like it. I like unconventional choices, but yeah. That's nuts. All right. So you have Jail or you have Stupid as four. I have Jail as four.
Yeah.
My number three is Camp.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. I'll go Jail here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then my number two is Scared Stupid.
Mine's Camp. You know what? No, mine's Christmas. Fuck. Yeah, no, mine's Camp.
All right. So then we both have Christmas.
Christmas is number one. Yeah. Yeah,
it's the right one.
It is the right one. It is literally the not just a great movie, but like also the epitome of an Ernest movie. You got Vern. You got the fucking crazy cameras. You got the characters.
Yep.
It's fucking awesome. It is Ernest literally is, perfect.
Ernest is the main character and couldn't be more detrimental to everything that's happening. It's just a fucking straight up nuisance. Like almost ruins Christmas. I would argue he does everything he can.
He might be the villain.
Yeah. That was good though, man. So that was it. That's Ernest.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was fun until it wasn't.
It was fun until this week.
Now, I think we said this the last time we did, and we'll probably say it as we go on with serial killers. Serial Killers is a great way to start the year because it reminds you. Because like by the end of the year, even watching one movie a week, we're like, for me, I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to watch that movie this week. Like, and then you do a serial killer where you have to watch three movies a week. And then you're like.
Three in a week. One, you don't even know what to do with yourself. So it's like fucking amazing.
And then you're just like, one movie. Dude, all for the last 2 weeks, I've been like, oh my God. I will be able to breathe again when we go to one movie. Like, that's just going to be nice. Just watch a movie, take some notes, do the episode. I'm so excited. It rejuvenates us for the year. It powers us through the year.
Yes, for sure.
Knowing how hard it could be.
Aren't there like other podcasts that do like 3 or 4 movies in a fucking episode?
Every episode. Kudos to them.
Probably stole all of our bits anyway. Anywho, that's that. That's Ernest.
Thank you all so much. We got a good slate coming up that I haven't fully scheduled, but we do have, what's next? February. Oh, Found Footage February. Hell House LLC to kick it off. Yep. The Last Broadcast, a Jersey Devil
Found Devil. Footage. Let's fucking go.
I know. I'm so pumped. We have a live show. It's going to be Friday the 16th. I think we're going to put that up to a Patreon vote,
Cannibal Holocaust.
That'll be fun. I mean, it doesn't matter. We stopped watching them. We just get drunk and come on in between and are like, just kidding.
Patreon.com/IAR.
No, it's fun. We'll if a movie is deserving of me reading facts, then that is what I will do. It just so happens that the last one was Slam Dunker, which contains no facts whatsoever. Actually, there were, and we did talk about them, but that was it. So Willow Creek, a potential.
You know what? Maybe that should be our, maybe we should just hammer that down.
Patreon, the Willow Creek.
Live show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
An OG from our first year, right?
If you've been listening to us from the beginning, you know that that's the first one that like we had such vitriol towards them. We gained traction because of that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We invested so much time and energy rallying about how much we hated Little Creek, which I can't wait to watch it and be like, dude, fucking awesome.
Both of us get drunk and be like, this is the best found footage movie we have ever seen.
No doubt. I'm fully anticipating that.
Bobcat Goldthwait should deserve all the awards. And then we're going to wrap that month up with Joe's favorite, Paranormal Activity.
All right.
You got to get through those.
You know, we do outfits, we do costumes for the live shows.
Yes.
Do we dress as Bigfoot or do we dress as Bobcat?
Oh, fuck. Wait, because Bobcat used to wear some wild shit and like...
Bobcat used to dress like such a fucking asshole.
Like when he was doing stand-up like in the 80s, he looked like a fucking idiot.
That stupid hat.
I mean, I guess he always looks like...
When the fucking the bandana around his neck. Honestly, dude, he looks way more of an asshole now.
I was gonna say that. He actually looks pretty fucking cool back in the day. Holy shit. That's fucking funny. Wait, well, it's for sure Bigfoot, right? Unless I can find a Bob Goldthwait mask. Imagine, dude, if I can find one. I can't.
Here, hold on. I'm sending you.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. It linked to a video, and it just immediately started with Bobcat yelling. Ran my fucking... just like his character from Police Academy.
Oh, I forgot he was in that.
That didn't hurt.
We want that didn't hurt. Hearing this scream.
The uniform.
We want to dress up like him in this. We could do this. We could pull that off. Yeah, so that's our February. March, we got some good episodes. Spooky, Sleep Stalker. Gonna pull some stuff in. We got some other stuff coming up, April, May, working on those schedules. So it's going to be fun. And we got the Stannies in March, hopefully preemptively. Oh, yeah, dude, because there's no theme to March. Except
I thought it was my favorite Martian.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that. We're going to do one episode for my favorite Martian, which is that fucking
insane one that I showed on the live show.
Oh, yeah. Communion.
Yeah. Communion. We'll do that one for the 26th for my favorite margin. Because the live show will be the Stannies.
Yes, that's what we're going to do.
So, there you go. And then we got to squeeze in Spooky, Sleep Stalker. We got some stuff. So, anyway. Everyone, thank you all so much. Thanks to Joe. If you want to support us, patreon.com/IHateHorror. We did a new bonus episode this week talking about the categories for the Stannies, the best movies of 2023, best horror movies of 2023 from our Patreon members and some other stuff. I don't know. But we're going to be voting on all that through Patreon, getting ideas from Patreon for the Stannies and stuff. So, oh, dude, that's what we should do for the Stannies. Oh, no, never mind. Oh, because now StreamYard goes to Instagram Live. We should do, like, because you said the red carpet thing on the Patreon bonus. We should do, like, the red carpet before the awards on Instagram Live. And then move to the live show on Patreon.
Let's set some people up. Like, get like Brian's guitar. Get like stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do whatever.
Let's do it legit. Yeah.
Yeah. Get a real red carpet.
Go to the bird.
For March?
Yeah.
I mean, that would work. I mean, we could do it. Maybe we move it to April. All right, we'll think about it. Think logistics. I'll think logistics. Anyway, patreon.com/IHateHorror, IHateHorror.com, Instagram @IHateHorror. Joe, where can they find you?
Instagram, bootnish1985.
Yes, sir. And those short pre-orders will be up very soon, so keep an eye on that. Keep an eye out on our Instagram again, @IHateHorror. You'll see that pre-order very soon. So get on it. It'll be a good one. I'm excited for it. And that's it, everyone. Thank you all so much. Thanks to Joe. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
Fucking zombie getting sliced and diced.